It's good to have some of our young people back. Were you blessed by Natalie's song? I was.
Yes.
Yeah. Great song. Great song. Michael, all I can say is I'm glad you got Joy's voice, not yours. So. Michael knows I kid. So it's not an insult to Michael, believe me. If you have your Bibles today, if not, it'll be up on the screen. If you want to turn to Psalm 106 in the Old Testament, Psalm 106. There was a comedian who once made a joke about growing a little older, but I'm finding the application is not just for older people, but it happens to younger people also. Do you ever have an instance where you got up out of your chair in the living room and you were going to get something in the kitchen, and by the time you got to the kitchen, you forgot what you went there for? And then you go back to the chair and you remember, right? When you sit down, you remember. And he says that's when you know where your brains are, when you sit down. And so sometimes our memory is not the best, correct? And compound that with this, if we're honest with ourselves, we easily forget how good God is. And one of the reasons why we easily forget how good God is because sometimes life is tough sometimes, right? And we allow ourselves to get pulled in different directions, and we forget the goodness of God when God is really good. And we can forget that very easily. The other problem is this. Sometimes we get so busy with life, between work, between school, between, for those of you who are retired, quote unquote, you still seem to have full schedules, because it seems like the older you get, your social life is doctor's appointments and going to be. But some of us wish there were more hours in a day. Generally speaking, most of us have things that we need to do, need to have, or need attention. How many of you are list makers? Who said that? Joya? So you make a list and you forget the list, right? All right. So, you know, our memories are tenuous. I want to suggest to you this morning, there is nothing more serious than forgetting who God is and what his goodness is all about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, because I think one of the most important things you and I need to do on every given day is to be in the presence of God. Each and every day. Otherwise, we get sidetracked, don't we? We get distracted. So from time to time, we need a reality check. Now, what are the things that distract us? Well, circumstances can distract us. There's probably some people here this morning who are going through some deep waters. What are other things that can distract us? People problems, correct? If you got through Thanksgiving without a family fight, that's a good thing, right? Without arguing about politics or, you know, anything like that, that's a good thing. But people can distract us, and other people's problems can distract us. Our own problems, our own circumstances can distract us. And we begin to worry, don't we? I told you this on Wednesday night at our Thanksgiving service, but 98% of what we worry about never comes true. That's what the statisticians tell me. And want to suggest the best remedy for worries is to be in the presence of God and know his blessings of his grace, and let him refresh our memory about who he is. So, as we look in the psalmist gives us some really good indicators. We're not going to go through the whole psalm. We're only going to go through the first 13 verses. And verse 1, I have it up here if you want to look at it. It starts off, I'm going to give you the literal translation. It's no big deal. It's just from the Hebrew. The literal translation is hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. That's what the literal translation means. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? And his love endures forever. The psalmist starts with the reasons why we can be thankful to the Lord, why we should give thanks to Him. Too many times when you and I come to prayer, we have our list ready. Isn't that true? Of what we want. What we want. Not what He wants, what we want. And the first thing we should do when we come to prayer is come and adore Him. Well, it sounds like a Christmas carol, right? Oh, come, let us adore Him. Come and adore Him. Come and give thanks for who He is. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the God the Father. And then we have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And the reason we give thanks is because He's good. There's this growing myth these days that some critics of the Bible want to propagate. And the myth is that God is not good. In fact, God is a God who authors evil. God can never author evil. Man's rebellion authors evil, not God. It is not God's character to author evil. He can't. It's impossible. So we thank Him because He is good. No matter what life has dealt us, the last song we sang was what? Bring on the wind. Bring on the waves. Our God is stronger. He is good. I can't emphasize this enough. Where we go off on this is sometimes when we want to make God like Monty Hall or Santa Claus, if I could put it that way. Well, how can God permit something bad to happen? Well, I can't give you all the reasons to that, but the reason why something bad happens is because there's evil in the world, and that is because of the sin of mankind, okay? Doesn't alter God's goodness. He is still good. He is so good that He's willing to forgive us our sin by simple faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you and me, my place on the cross 2,000 years ago. Why? Because His love endures forever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's us, that He gave His one and only Son, right? That whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Simple faith, repentance and faith. His love endures forever. You know what Jesus impressed upon the apostles at that Last Supper? When He took that cup of redemption and He passed it around, He said, this is the symbol of My blood, and it represents the new covenant. You know what that covenant is? Is that He will never leave us or forsake us, ever. Now, when we do something we shouldn't do, does God or Christ withdraw His love? Absolutely not. He doesn't withdraw one iota of His love. Can he be disappointed in us? Absolutely. But He still loves us. Parents, you know what I'm talking about, right? When your children do something that's stupid, or they do something, you know, that you know is sinful, you still love them. You don't approve of their behavior, and you know there's going to be consequences, but you still love them, correct? Well, how much more does God love us with His perfect love? His love endures forever. I want you to bring in for a couple more verses. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord and fully declare His praise? This is where you and I, we need to sit every day for some, I would actually recommend 3, 4, 5 times a day to do this. Take a break from whatever you're doing. And sit and remember God's mighty acts and declare His praise. Man, there's nothing better than to get yourself centered again with the reality of God's presence. It's powerful. And you say, I don't have time. Let me tell you this. You need to make the time. Who can proclaim His mighty acts? Blessed are those who act justly and do what is right. Huh. God has done some mighty acts. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But blessed are those who act justly and do what is right. What is right in front of, in whose eyes? God's eyes. According to the scriptures, His word. There's a blessing for obedience, isn't there? Right? I mean, if again, parents, who here wasn't a kid? You were all kids, right? If you were obedient to your parents, you were blessed. If you were disobedient, there were consequences. When we are obedient to God, under the direction of His Word, under the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're not in this alone, in and of ourselves, we want to be disobedient. But when we are in the presence of God and we submit ourselves to God and His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, then He enables us to do what is right in God's eyes. And there's great blessing in it. I'll show you how great the blessing is. All right. When God brings us to the point that we know the right thing to do and we do it and we don't tell anybody about it, but you know you did it because you love God and He loves you, there's no greater blessing. Nobody has to know about it. There is no greater blessing than that. I want you to follow this with me. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people and come to the aid when you save them. Do you know that before you were born, this is what the Bible says, before you were born, God knew your name. Before you were born, before you were conceived in the womb, God knew your name. That's what God said to Jeremiah, isn't it? Said to Jeremiah, when Jeremiah felt sorry for himself, he said, listen, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew your name. In fact, Jeremiah, before you were born, I called you to ministry. Wow. This is why sometimes I get crazy when people go nuts over celebrities and sports figures. You know, you want to see a sports figure or a celebrity, you're going to pay big bucks first to see them. And you're going to be in the audience, and not one of them is going to know one iota about you. And honestly, they could probably care less. But in the billions of people who are here on this earth, God knows your name. And He knew it before you were born. Not only that, He knows how many hairs are on your head. And in the case of some of us, it's the lack of hairs on our head. He knows all of that. He knows every detail about us. Listen to me. He also knows the bad stuff in us. And yet He still extends His love to us in Jesus Christ. Come to my aid when you save them. How did God save us? Through the cross of Christ. He came to my aid because I can't do it. There's no amount of good works I could ever do to make up for my sin for God. Jesus came, lived the life I was supposed to live, and suffered the full wrath of God on the cross for me, in my place, because He loved me. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. What the psalmist is saying here is, look, Lord, I know what your love has done for me. You sent Jesus to die for me. I know your blessings. I know your mighty acts. I've seen you active. I've seen you do things in my life that can only be explained by miracles. And Lord, when I get together with other people who enjoy your presence, something happens. Together then, we can enjoy the blessings of one another. We can have joy even when the sky's falling. Or it seems that way. We can have joy. And we can joy in the inheritance of your praise. If you ever get a chance to read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews is very clear about the great cloud of witnesses in heaven who are rooting for each and every one of us to say, keep up the good journey. Keep walking with Jesus. Because they were there. They were there. Look what happens, though, very quickly. We have to be honest with God, though, in this, in our prayers and the time that we're with Him. We have to admit we're not perfect, correct? We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. This is wickedly. This is confession now. So it starts with adoration and now goes to confession. And brutally honest, we've sinned. We blew it. In fact, I would say we have to get more specific than we've sinned. We have to tell God what we did that didn't please Him, that was contrary to His word, that hurt other people. And we need to tell Him that with a heart that's willing to receive His forgiveness and a heart that's willing to repent and turn away from that sin. And it goes into some of the history. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. How quick we forget, right? They did not remember your many kindnesses. They rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Remember that? God delivered them from Egypt, Moses leading them out. They come to the Red Sea and they start to grumble at Moses and they say, Moses, we got the sea in front of us. We got this Egyptian army in back of us. You brought us out here to die, Moses. We were better off back in captivity as slaves. So what did they do? They let circumstances get in there and distract them. They were angry at Moses. But look what happened. Yet He saved them for His name's sake to make His mighty power known. You know what happened? Moses lifts up his staff. What happened to the waters in the sea? They parted, and the Hebrews crossed to the other side on dry land, the scripture says. And when they got to the other side, the Egyptian army that was chasing them to kill them, they entered, and what did God do? The waters came back, and He drowned the whole army. What a mighty, powerful act. I have an illustration at home, and I forget where it happened. It's a true illustration. It was a third or fourth grader in public school. And it was at the point where they're going off over geography and some history. And this particular time was talking about the Middle East and the Red Sea. And the teacher makes this statement that when Moses led Egypt across the Red Sea, it was in a part of the sea that was only 2 inches deep. That's why they were able to do it. And his fourth grader, you know, sometimes out of the mouths of kids comes truth. He raises his hand and he says, "Teacher, that means God is even more of a miracle worker." And he says, "How can you say that?" Well, then he drowned a whole Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. No matter how you spin that, his mighty acts. Eugene Peterson once said, "You can see God's miracles in the mundane." If you ever witnessed childbirth, incredible, incredible miracle. If you know the miracles that God has done in your life, let me give you something to think about. I want to suggest to you, we don't see the miracles that God has for us each and every day because we're not looking. And we're not looking because we're not spending time in the presence of God like we ought to. We're being distracted by circumstances, people, and worries, and all that stuff. And we're not looking to God to be in His presence because we have to let God and His word remind us of who He is, how holy He is, how much He loves us, how sinful we are. And that through His Son, we can have forgiveness and new life in Christ. Does that make sense? He goes on to say here, He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. Just what we said. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, meaning the Egyptians, from the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries, and not one of them survived. Not one of the Egyptian army survived, including Pharaoh, by the way. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. They broke out into worship. Here they were, maybe an hour before, grumbling, and then they saw the mighty act of God. And they get to the other side, and they're praising him. Boy, we've seen a lot of miracles, huh? And we're okay to praise them, but we have bad memories. We have bad memories. Look at the next verse. Sorry. But they soon what he had done, and he did, and did not wait for his plan to unfold. Whoa. They forgot. We don't have time to go through the rest of this. You can do this on your own. But let me tell you what happened when they forgot. They pulled away from God. They just pulled back from God. Listen to me. God never pulls away from us. Jesus never pulls away from us. For those of us who have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we are doing something wrong, he will discipline us to get our attention, always to restore us to get back. But he doesn't disown us. He can't disown us. Okay? This is the thing of the past. So if you can't relate to this, I'm sorry. But you remember when cars had bench seats and you were dating, right? And usually it was the guy driving the car and the girl was like right next to you, right? And a date. And, the relationship develops if they ultimately get married. You know, little by little, that distance gets further and further. Yeah, now it's not a problem because there's bucket seats, but it got further and further away. And long about the fifth anniversary, the wife at this point says, do you remember when we were dating and you know, we couldn't get close enough to one another? Now we're not even close. And the husband says, I've never moved. He's still in the same place. She moved. And I want to suggest to you that we do the same thing with Jesus. Jesus never moves. It is us who choose to put that distance between us. But I will tell you this. I don't care how many steps we've taken away from him. It's only one step of faith to come back. And he'll welcome every one of us with open arms. That's the grace of God. So I want to ask you this morning, how good is your memory? I mean, I want to ask you just two simple questions additionally. How many of us have or are struggling with worry? Raise your hand. Listen, at the risk of sounding trite, practice being the presence of God. Remember his great works, his love for you. Where do we look for the solution to a heart that is filled with worry? Do we look to spend time in the presence of God, reflecting on his grace in our lives, being honest with him in confession and repentance, and make time for daily to be in his presence and so he can remind us? Or do we escape some other way? The ways of escape are not good. I once went to a college reunion. It was interesting. One of my college roommates who was a pilot back then, still is a pilot, had gotten married prior to the reunion. And we were only out of college maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And at the reunion, his wife wasn't with him. And I said, where's your wife? And she says, well, she's in Europe finding herself. I said, boy, that's like an oxymoron, you know? You know what an oxymoron is, right? You drive on the parkway you know, that type of thing. And he says, why? He said, because she follows herself. You can't get away from yourself. I mean, you are who you are. You go to Europe to find yourself. Guess what you're going to find? The same person who is here in the United States. You know, so sometimes we have this escapist mentality that we think, you know, that we have to find ourselves someplace else. Listen, the scripture says this, that our identity, if we want to know who we really are, and we sang about this in the beginning of the service, if we want to know who we really are, our identity has to be defined by nobody else but Jesus Christ himself. That's who we are. And if you place your trust in Christ and him alone, knowing that he went to the cross for your sin personally, and you come and you say, Lord, you did this for me because you love me. You paid the penalty for my sin so I could be forgiven once and for all. Lord, help me turn from the way I'm going and turn to you. At that moment, the Bible says you're adopted into the family of God. You can't be unadopted. You're adopted into the family of God. And in Christ, you are fully loved. And your life has purpose. In Christ. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you're adopted into his family. In Christ, when you are part of a local church, you become part of God's family. In Christ, his love and his adoption can never be reversed. In Christ, your life will have purpose. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say he's going to give you everything you want. Nor did I say that he would make your life a bowl of cherries. But he will never leave you or forsake you. So how good is our memory? I'm hoping, as a pastor, and I could get away with this, okay, that when you go home today, you don't leave this for another week and not open it. I'm hoping that each and every day you might be encouraged by looking to this love letter from God that was given to us to encourage us, to correct us, to learn, to give us wisdom. Because listen, when I do things in my own wisdom, I make a mess. But when I am lovingly obedient to the words of Scripture, that's when I see God's miracles and blessings. How about you? Let's pray.